Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
This episode is brought to you by California Cryobank and BetterHelp, and we are super excited to have them on board, helping to make our show a possibility.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Let me show you.
Love is love. If you don't have to make a family, but take a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, you would say.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
It's not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, guys. Hi. Oh, hi, Robin.
Gee, here we are, Jamie. Another week. But we're getting close another to the week. End of this season.
I know. It's still Pride Month.
It is.
My daughter on the bus this morning was like, why is there still Pride stuff up? I was like, because it's June still.
Well, now it's all June, so it definitely feels like much longer than it used to. It used to be just a week.
I think it should just be all year, every year. I mean, it's the best.
I mean, listen, you don't have to not be proud all year. Jamie, you'd be proud and wear your rainbows all year.
Listen, every day is Pride for us. Every day.
But we should tell people, though, Jamie, that we're dark next week for the July 4th holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're dark for the month of August. So we will be back till after Labor Day.
But you can always go back and listen to past episodes. We have over 100.
Yeah, get caught up.
Get caught up. That's what my mother says she does. She likes to go back and listen because there's so many she forgets about them.
How is your mother not sick of us yet?
She will never, ever, ever get sick of us.
I mean, she's probably sick of me, but she's not sick of you.
No,
but that's
I don't
all
think
right.
so. I don't think so. I don't think so. It's her favorite thing. She thinks we should be releasing reruns throughout our dark month.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
I know. We need a break.
Tell your mother not to make more work for us.
That's what I told her. I said, listen, we need no more work right now. But anyway, we've got to get into this news item we want to talk about. Guys,
yes.
Sesame Street takes a big leap for LGBTQ visibility and introduces gay dads with a daughter. How awesome.
For Pride Month, they dropped this episode where we found a little article about this where they're talking about Family Day. And
Family
they have two gay dads, Frank and Dave, and their daughter, Mia. Come on now, Sesame Street.
Come on, Sesame Street. I love Sesame Street. My daughter used to watch it. Like, she was really into it. And I very much enjoy Sesame. I like the music. Like, they put good stuff up. They're little musicals. And my son is not as into Sesame Street.
Oh, he's not?
I miss it. No, I miss it. He's like a Mickey Mouse kid. I don't know.
I'm like, I'm trying to scroll through the comments to see.
Anybody trolled it?
Yeah. I'm seeing like, oh, and there goes the block on Sesame Street. Let's see what else we got.
Somebody said that?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? What's wrong with people? There goes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Here's one. I can't imagine how horrible it would have been to be raised by two men. No woman in the house for a girl to turn to. Sorry, but men and women are not created equal, at least not in the sense that they are identical. I strongly believe that children are entitled to one parent of each sex. Anything outside of that is a tragedy. Can you work with tragedy? Yes, but no child should be set up with a scenario on purpose. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I mean, listen, I guess we shouldn't dwell on it. There's always going to be those people, but hopefully they see the episode and they see the results of things like our kids growing up to be wonderful people.
Exactly.
You know? And hopefully,
Can you imagine?
Hopefully it changes those people's minds. I mean, how do you see somebody like State Senator Zach Walls, you know, from our season two? How do you see someone who was raised as amazing as he was by two women and then think it's his life's a tragedy?
I mean, GFY. He just did an Ironman race.
Like, he is not messing around.
No.
I think about my kids reading things like that. And I'm
like, I know. That's the scary thing. Like, we are trying to raise children with a lot of love and a lot of compassion. So,
I know.
You know, stop the mean comments, guys. What's wrong with you?
But you know, people said that about divorced homes.
Yeah, right.
You know, I don't know.
Anyway, stop trolling people. Stop. It's not necessary.
Just go get a hobby, for God's sake.
Go get a rainbow flag and be done with it. It's Pride, damn it.
All right, Jamie, let's send a special thank you to our newest Patreon member, which is so excited. Jennifer, the embodied life therapist, has joined our community,
Jennifer, the embodied life therapist. And if you would like to help us make this content for our LGBTQ families, you can also join our Patreon community and help us. You can do just that. You can help us stay away from the trolls by making good, family-friendly content.
In theory, we might get more trolls, but that's all right. That means we're winning. So
I don't want trolls.
I know you don't, Jamie. I know. Oh, and at the gestational carrier level, you're going to get video interviews of most our episodes, and they are dropping a day early. Jamie, what are you doing? Is that slime?
It's okay. Slime. My daughter left slime on my desk. I hate slime, but for some reason, I can't stop playing with it right now.
All right. Well, just head to patreon.com/ovariestalk and you could join us there.
Yes. Okay. All right. So let's get to this episode. Helen is telling us to roll this. Roll it along. Sorry, Helen. She's at my house this time. So she's,
I love how you had to tell me because I was about to make imaginary Helen be at my house.
All right, so she's with me right now, and she is literally moving her hand, gesticulating wildly. So let's talk about our guests. Aaliyah and Emily are our guests, but Aaliyah heard our pitch recently saying that we had gotten some feedback from listeners that we hadn't represented all aspects of our LGBTQ community. And of course, we're like, well, let's bring them in. Obviously, we need to address everyone and everybody's life. And so thank you for that feedback. And we made a pitch. We said something. And I'm distracted by my slime.
I know. Put the slime down. So Aaliyah said, you know, that she said to herself, really, not to us. And she was like, well, they haven't spoken to anybody who's asexual. And she was right. We had not. And so she reached out and she said that she wanted to share her story about her relationship with her wife, Emily, who identifies as bisexual, and how they're parenting and also how they're gearing up to try for another baby.
Yes.
It is such a great interview.
It really is.
I just want to roll it because I'm so excited.
I think we should roll it because we have rambled enough.
Okay, tell Helen to roll it, Jamie.
I'm going to tell Helen to roll it, but she just went to the bathroom. So, no, I'm just kidding. Helen, roll the tape.
She's like, I'm on a break.
She's on a cigarette break. Roll the tape, Helen. Roll it.
Hi, Emily and Aaliyah.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome.
We are so happy to have you here.
Very excited to be here finally.
We're so excited when we have listeners who we get to interview. It's like one of our favorite things. So we're so glad Aaliyah reached out to us, and we're so glad you did.
Yeah, like it was it was like having the television talk back to me when I started talking to it. Like, oh, you can talk to me. Like, okay, here we are. You just wanted to email so quickly.
Sometimes we're quick.
Sometimes we're quick, and sometimes we're not. Everyone, please be patient with us.
Yes.
Let's start where we always start with you all, with the elevator pitch.
Yeah, no pressure.
Go ahead, Emily.
There is no pressure.
On your mark.
Yeah.
Get set. Go.
All right. I am Emily, and this is Aaliyah. We are the Tong Sanchez's. We met in 2013. We were roommates in Acadia, and we worked at the Jordan Pond House, and it was really wonderful, beautiful summer. We became very close, and I didn't think that she was available because she told me early on that she's asexual, and I thought, okay, we'll be friends. But a few years later, I reached out to her because I had this realization that being asexual doesn't mean that you're aromantic, and I thought we should explore that, and she was interested too. So
I like being very intense friends.
Yeah. So we got together. We got engaged, we bought a house, and last year we started trying to grow our family.
Bam! Well
That's
done.
That's way over 30 yeah. seconds.
Listen.
That doesn't matter because you really got it in there. Yeah. We have never talked to a couple like you, so this is really, really exciting for us. I'm curious, and before we get into the interview, I just want to say, I have never spoken with somebody who's asexual. And so if I say anything that is offensive to you or ask you any questions that are offensive, please tell me. And I'm sure Robin feels the same
Absolutely.
Way.
Yes, I do.
And
this is uncharted territory for us.
I will go ahead and state for the record, like, well, to begin with, much like people who say, like, I never talked to someone who's gay. Like, there's a good chance you've talked to someone who's asexual.
Yes. Yes. That we know
You're
of.
So and, right? See, there you go.
Yes. I was just looking through statistics because I didn't want to, like, obviously, I'm not here to represent an entire community. I am here for visibility. So I was looking at the statistics, and it turns out that, like, among queer identifying youth, 1 in 10 identifies as asexual currently, which was a surprise to me. Usually it's more like 1% of minority sexualities when it comes to adults, like, identifying themselves.
So I was looking it up too, like, cause it's like both Jamie and I feel like we really want to speak with care about this because we don't want it to be like a sexual conversation, but it's about your identifying.
That's my identifying. It reflects on my relationship. Like, it matters a little bit in the medical community now that I've been working with fertility specialists and things like that. And the way I identify, like, I've hit some snags with it. It's surprising. But anyway,
I was going to say, I saw that one, it was said 1 to 4% of people are asexual. And I didn't know that.
I mean, like, it doesn't come up in conversation very often.
Well, I guess not. Yeah, exactly. But I just want to say thank you for coming on here and being visible and sharing your story with us.
Yeah. Like, I reached back out to you guys just because you were talking so much about, like, wanting to recognize that you weren't representing, like, a full queer spectrum, and you're very aware of it, but you can't do that without people who want to come and be part of that spectrum.
I'm going to cry.
That's so sweet.
The first, like, annual International Asexual Visibility Day happened on the 6th of April. And, like, I noticed it. I've been out of the loop for a while. I didn't know we had a day. And it turns out it was the first one.
This year. And it was this year, 2021.
And it was very close to all of your announcements about how you're trying to do better. And it's like, well, like, I feel very comfortable in the relationship and the life that I have. And, like, it's a good moment to be visible.
Well, I liked what you said, Emily, in your elevator pitch when you said, asexual doesn't mean aromantic. And can you speak a little more about that? I thought that was such a cool something I wouldn't have thought of.
Yeah, I think I really valued our friendship in such an it's been such a like an anchor in my life to have such a close friend for such a long time and through so many different phases of my life. So I don't know. I started, like, looking at some other friends who were asexual and what their relationships looked like. And I noticed, oh, they do have romantic relationships. And that's not necessarily something that is like it's something that they can, like, in any relationship you can work with. You can just talk about it and set boundaries and figure out what each person needs in order for the relationship to be successful. So I think, like, in the same way that, like, gender identity, it does not necessarily equate to your sexuality. Like, whether or not a person is interested in romantic relationships doesn't mean, like, that that's a different thing to measure and think about in comparison with, like, somebody's sexual identity.
Yeah. And like,
really,
like, for my part, like I met Emily at a time in my life where like, I was trying to figure out what my future looked like. Like I was pretty secure in my identity as far as an asexual person. And like, I think like I had the benefit of being just a very confident person all through my awkward adolescence. And I never like felt like I had to
Lucky
find, like,
you. Yeah,
good job, parents, or whatever.
That was a mess. Yeah.
Like, it's all different sorts of messes. Like, I had a friend in high school turn to me and say, you know, Aaliyah, you're like a rock. You've really got this whole thing figured out. And I was like, I was that kid in middle school, like, went into the bathroom where all of her friends were crying because someone didn't want to dance with them. Like, wow, that's rough, guys. Yeah. So I was at a point in my life where, like, I had vocabulary for, like, how I was feeling as far as asexuality. And like, I recognized, like, I was very like deeply attached to a lot of people in my life. Like I cared about my roommates in college. Like I focused on my family a lot. And I had been participating as an adult in summer camps, being a camp counselor for a decade at that point. I did 10 years at Girl Scout camp.
Nice.
And like, I really, really cared about the relationships I made there because they were super intense. Like you send a bunch of adults out in the woods taking care of kids that could run away at any moment they want to, just have to make sure they don't realize that.
But by the way, like, that's you're living parenting in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're like, all
don't
set.
Let them know.
Don't so, let them like, know you was, have no actual power.
Yeah, at no all. Actual power. So that's a stressful, intense situation.
Yeah.
We're all very dependent on each other. We live, work, and play together. And like that was a place where people felt comfortable like being extremely close to each other. I'm not going to say there were no like relationships there because there certainly were a lot of relationships at Girl Scout camp.
Can imagine.
But nobody really questioned my position in being a very like attached, deep friend.
Mm-hmm.
And like there was an end point. Like I knew everyone was going to leave in 3 months. Like when my college roommate like left because he was in a relationship, like I felt like a grieving process. Mm. It's like I lost that person that I came home to, and it's not really something you could talk about. Like, I didn't, like, my relationship didn't fall apart from an outside perspective. My roommate just left.
Right.
And I got the apartment to myself, so why wasn't I happy?
Right.
Yeah. So when I met Emily, it was my second or third season where I was working remotely. And, like, if you go to a vacation town, like, you look around, you have to realize that most of the population doesn't live there year-round. So Mount Desert Island, where we met, you know, in Acadia National Park, like, a third of its population stays there through the winter. Everyone else comes in to this vacation town, mm-hmm. and like mans and restaurants and hotels and just the national park system. So you have pockets of basically adults at summer camp without kids. That's how I saw it. Like, oh, like I can do this someplace else. Like, mm-hmm. I went out there, like I was in everybody's business. Like I could have intense friendships where like there was always someone to hang out with. There were people who were like having breakdowns because it's a rough career to be in, like in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Where like there's huge amounts of people coming in and out every day. You're away from your family. It's a lot of international students.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like I felt like I could belong and that I was needed. And like I could have intense relationships with people without having like a romantic or a sexual relationship with people. And adults are mostly looking like when you're examining relationships you're having with other adults, people always seem to expect that there's like a commodity or something as far as like having a sexual or romantic relationship with somebody. And like, I want to state very firmly that my relationship with Emily is very romantic. Like, she is my wife. So I love her. We hold hands in public and at home. Like, we are like open and very visibly queer. And that's my romantic relationship is very, very visibly lesbian.
Right.
I wondered about the intersectionality of lesbian and asexual, because those are two different things. Yes.
Yeah. Like, I don't necessarily identify as a lesbian, but I absolutely identify as a queer person. I always have. Mm-hmm. Like I felt very strongly that I was not, like, I didn't have anything deeply in common with heterosexual women.
Yeah.
Aside from the fact that I was a woman and I enjoyed being a woman.
Who does? I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot there. Oh, wow. That's like, there's not that incentive there that a heterosexual woman would have, I feel like. Like, I have a lot of very deep relationships with men. Like, I have friends, like I have male friends, at least two.
At least two. She says.
Yeah. Like I know male guys, but
I know male guys.
Yeah. I know dudes.
We know dudes. We all have
By the way, I feel the same way about men. Like I like men. I just don't feel like I understand or connect to them in the way that I do with women.
Yeah. Well, like most of my adult career outside of Girl Scout camp has been with dudes because I was a cook. Like I worked in like that very machismo heavy environment. And like, it was like, I enjoyed being one of the guys a little bit just because of like, it's fun to get in there and they're pecking order and just put everyone in their place a little bit.
That's fun. I never get to be one of the guys. They never like let me in that crew. Like I would
that was
love
like my
to.
Whole childhood. I was like one of the guys.
I was deeply competent and willing to be the responsible person. And I had a shaved head. So, you know, baldest woman in the room is in charge.
So you
situation.
Are totally in charge.
Yeah, you are.
I'm just curious. I'm curious. Like, I'm thinking of somebody like my mother who listens to this podcast, who's going to afterwards, which she does with every single episode.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Exactly. Sorry, mom, I'm calling you out. But she's going to call me up and be like, I listened to the most recent episode. I still don't understand what asexual is. Is there, can, as pertains to you alone, Aaliyah, is there, can you define for us in any way?
So there's usually, there is a definition that most like it splashed across news headlines is that an asexual person is someone who doesn't feel a sexual attraction. And there is also like a spectrum that is recognized within asexuality as far as like being gray sexual, demisexual. And I don't super understand those either, but like, a lot of those are defined by your relationship and like how you specifically feel and that your asexuality is not invalidated. If you're in a sexual relationship, if you had a sexual relationship in the past, like the fact that you masturbate does not make you not asexual. Things like that come up a lot.
Do you guys feel, and this is a question for both of you, that people ask questions that they like about that they should not be asking you, or they have a lot of questions about what asexuality is? Or
like, honestly, I haven't been. Like it is, it's, there's no visible marker in a relationship or in a person of being asexual.
Right.
How and like, know? I don't, like, right. I like when I used to go to Pride, like when we had the opportunity to do those things,
remember those days?
Like I'd run around with a little asexual flag and wear my like black, purple and white color, like that lavender color. And like, it's nice to notice each other. Like I noticed one or two other asexual or like people carrying those colors. It's like, hey, there you are. You're real. We exist. Fist bump.
Visibility.
And awkwardly
right
walk away from each other. Yeah, there's visibility.
Awkwardly
like,
walk away.
I haven't met a lot of very, what do you call it? Like outspoken, not outspoken.
Like
not
visible?
Antisocial, but yeah, visible. No, just like someone is like, all right, we're going to have an intense conversation now about the fact that we're both asexual.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Because it doesn't mean that like we're going to be in a relationship. Like we don't have that much in common as far as like if you meet another lesbian, you're like, oh, okay, like I'm assuming here. It's like, hey, is she cute? Does she think I'm cute? I'm not sure. Like you meet another asexual person, you're like, hey.
What's up?
That's a nice cup.
I was going this way. Where were you going? Okay, bye.
Bye.
Yeah, it's like, cool.
I mean, that's amazing. And that makes total perfect sense. And actually, the way you just laid it out makes perfect sense to me. So thank you for that. Now I want to know, I don't know if Robin, if you're ready for this, but now I want to know your story, the two of you, like, let's dig in.
Yeah.
How did you go
from like meeting at the resort place or the, you know, town to like, we're going to turn this into a thing?
I called her on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, you did.
And
yeah.
I said, hey, I've had this dream for a really long time that we'd like get a house together and have a big porch and a garden, have kids.
Now, did you already have a kid at this point?
I did.
We haven't talked about that whole side.
Yes. Oh, okay. I identify as bisexual. I was in a relationship with a man prior and I had a 2-year-old at the time. He is now 6. So yeah, I was like, we'd broken up and I was kind of thinking about like long-term what I wanted. And like I'd had this kind of like pocket dream really since that summer that we would have this family together. And I was like, I don't know. Part of me just said, hey, no, that's ridiculous. She would never want that. But then I thought, okay, how do you know that she wouldn't want that?
Right, right.
So yeah.
Because you guys had a deep connection at this point.
Yeah. What she hasn't said is that she brought that up in 2013 when we met. Like, so we were assigned roommates. Like we were, the dormitory was set up in like pods and each pod had 2 rooms. There were 4 people crammed in each room. We were in the queerest pod there could have been.
Nice.
I'm so pretty great. Like there was one straight girl there and she was only there for a month and she went to college.
Like, I'm out of here.
I don't know if she was straight.
Oh yeah. That's true. I'm making assumptions here.
Right.
But
right,
like
right.
our little pod, like
it's like they knew.
Yeah. So yeah, we were roommates. We were in that room the longest, the two of us. So like I showed up first, I had to into myself for a while. People kept trickling in. I think Emily was the third person. I met her mom first and her mom likes to remind her of that. And like, it's a tourist town. So like your day off, you get one day off a week, mm-hmm. hopefully.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And like, there's stuff to do. Like we got free rides on the whale cruise if there was an empty spot, mm-hmm. like you got discounts at restaurants and things like that. And there was an entire national park to hike and walk around and enjoy.
Yes. It reminds me of my summer stock days. I did a lot of summer stock. Very similar.
So like, if you're not doing it by yourself, like sometimes you want somebody else to like go and have an experience with. And there was always like Emily, like however our shifts, like I work night shift, sometimes she worked morning and there'd be like some
days we had overlap and it was great. We went out on all these adventures together. And I think other people just assumed we were dating. And I never told them that we were. And I don't know, people just made assumptions about the two of us together because we're sitting at like bars and she's knitting and I'm having a beer. Like it was like really, really queer.
This is
and
how awesome. The story of my life.
It sounds really comfortable, by the way.
Yeah. Like any friends I had in high school, like my brother, honestly, like people who didn't know us that well, like assumptions were made just because like I'm comfortable in people's spaces. And like, I guess I stare at people a lot. I don't know. But like, I've had a lot of friends come back and like, hey, how did it go with her? Like, mm-hmm. I've talked to my mom since, because like, I've had the coming out story with her a couple of times because like it gets more complicated as you add a relationship.
I bet it does.
It's like, yeah. Oh yeah. Like I just assumed like that summer that you were sad after college, that like you had to break up with your girlfriend and like, you just never told me about her. No, mom, I was having an existential crisis because I didn't know what I was going to do with my life after college.
Yeah.
Like, you like had nothing to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Your mom must ask all kinds of interesting questions.
Yep. Yeah. So like Emily had told me like that summer, like we were talking about like what it was to be queer and like what it meant for us and how we were moving around in the world. And she had this image of like a dilapidated fixer upper with a wraparound porch that we were going to live in, just like we were living now, like cohabitating, mm-hmm. like supporting each other and like being the person we came home to. And at some point there were just kids involved. Like maybe we had separate families. Like I worked again, Girl Scout camps. Like I've always enjoyed like spending time with kids and like, have lots of cousins that are 20 years younger than I am. Uh-huh, uh-huh. So like that was her image. And like, I had that in the back of my mind, like, yeah, that would be like super ideal. Like I want to be important in somebody's life. Like I want to raise kids with somebody and I don't know what that's going to look like. Because I don't know that I would believe anybody that said that that was what they wanted.
Right. That you just, right. Gotcha.
Yeah. It's not like I don't trust them to respect my boundaries. I've had lots of people in my life that I trust to respect my boundaries. It's that like Emily was the first person who laid things out for me. And like, I had the moment of like trusting her to know what she wanted for herself.
Oh, that's profound.
Mm, that is deep.
Wow. Okay. And so now Emily calls you on Valentine's Day and
she left a recorded little like voice message embedded in a text.
Yeah, of course she did.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you get to like
technology.
Work on it yourself.
She was
yeah.
in a different state. Uh-huh. I wanted to give her time to right. think about it and respond and yeah. not have to like live talk me.
And sure, you were like, just like, let's do this. Like Emily, like you were like, let's do this.
No, look, before that, like we had sort of been ramping up. Like I'm not a good long distance person. Mm-hmm. Like part of the reason that I enjoyed living in all those intense spaces with people was that there was a built-in friend group. I knew who I was going to associate with. And like, I'm not very good at being the person who has plans or makes the phone call or things like that. But like when Emily reaches out, like she sent me photographs, she sent me postcards. Like I got calls every once in a while when she was having her kid. Like I got a baby announcement mm-hmm. and I sent her like a baby blanket. Like our son still has a couple of toys in his room that I made when I got like for her shower. Mm-hmm. Like I sent him really weird knitted vests and things like that. And she sent me pictures of the kid actually wearing it. Look, we were intensely part of people's lives. And I don't remember what exactly was going on at the time, but like I had known that Emily was having like a rough time. There were a couple like just based off of like the tone of her texts and things like that, that like she needed to be reminded how cool and special she was and that people like she mattered to people. She mattered to me.
Yeah.
So I sent her a picture of the wall in my bedroom at the time that was just a collage of like old pictures and drawings I had made and things like that over the, like the years, things people had sent me. And there was an entire like half of the wall that was dedicated to stuff Emily had sent me.
Yeah.
So aww. I had like pictures of us from that summer in Maine and like postcards she had sent me and things like letters she had written. And like the picture of her baby announcement and things like that, like that was all there. So like I stepped back from my wall and I took a picture and I sent it to her. And that was a little bit before Valentine's Day.
Yep.
That sealed the deal right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got the phone call from her and
like there have been a few like standout relationships in my life where somebody has reached out and said like, hey, like I really want to date you, like you matter. And like my response has always been like, I'm asexual. And their response in back has been a couple of times I've gotten like, have you had your hormones tested? Like, is everything okay?
Right.
There's a lot of people, like an assumption is that if you're asexual, it is like a symptom of something that is a little bit off with you.
Yeah. Hmm.
Which isn't news to anyone in the queer community that like somebody's looking for
a reason,
something to fix.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, there've been a few people, like obviously like I spent time, I invested time in these people, like they mattered to me. And I had always felt like, in retrospect, I didn't do enough to tell them that like, hey, like that's not for me. You're not for me. But that doesn't mean that like, you're not an adorable badass. And I'm thinking about somebody that I worked with at camp.
Yeah.
Like I regretted all those moments where I didn't return the compliment, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I spent a couple of hours in my room sitting on the floor, like in a corner, listening to Emily's message and trying to like think of the best thing that I could respond to her with and tell her that like, she was amazing. Like she was a very impressive person, like the way that she was living her life. And like, of course, like, but gold standard of time that I've spent with people was that summer in Maine. And like, as I was thinking of all these things, and it was very important for me to tell her at some point, like I took a step back again and realized that all those things were very, very true. And there's no way to end that sentence without like just saying, yeah, let's make it work.
Yeah.
Like I had been getting in my own way. Yeah.
That's, I feel like that's the first time you've come to that conclusion here, right? Mm-hmm. That's huge. Yeah.
And again, it was like Emily as a whole being that person. Like she's not the person that changed things for me or fixed me or anything like that. Like, she is the person that I absolutely trusted, like based off the way she was living her life and the things that she wanted for herself. Like I absolutely trusted that I was one of those things completely as I was.
Mm.
I know that Emily sees me as an asexual person, like as a woman, as all the things that make me up.
Right.
Oh, you guys are so sweet. Look at the love.
I would just wonder if you are just ready, like you had figured yourself out in a way and you mm-hmm. had gotten an understanding of yourself. Like, I think it's wonderful that you're giving Emily all this credit. And Emily, I mean, is delightful.
Delightful.
You should also give some credit from to Emily yourself, Robin. Too. I would not. I would never. But I think you should also give some credit to yourself, too. That sounds like you were doing introspective work on yourself mm-hmm. and understanding yourself. And then you saw an opening. And I think it would have been very easy to not go to that opening, to stay in a safe space and say, no, I am asexual and I'm not going to do that. And I think that's really impressive that you, like, because you could get hurt if, like you said earlier, if someone wasn't true to their word, you know, in respect to who you are.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I would honestly, like, I would believe, I would hope that most people would respect that. That like, that's most relationships. Like you thought you had this thing together. You absolutely did have that thing together. And like, as you grow as a person, like a relationship can change, you can change, and it might not mean the same thing to you anymore.
Right.
So like somebody who went into a relationship with me, believing that that was all that they wanted, mm-hmm. that they knew how to live their life in a way that like, being in a relationship with an asexual person is central to it, or even just tertiary, however that fits with their lives. I would hope that you could respect that's going to change, because that's any relationship. Like when you break up with somebody, it's because something has changed. Something's not true anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I think about like some straight couples that they mm-hmm. get together and one of the ones in the couple says they don't want kids. And the other one gets into the relationship anyway, thinking, oh, they'll change. Right.
Yeah.
So I think of that. And I think that can happen in your instance. People think, oh no, she's gonna, you know, she'll change. She'll come around, you know. And
right. And some asexuals do. Like some people, that is important to them.
Right.
That's something you care about. And like sex means different things to everybody.
Right.
Like sharing that sort of experience, like that should mean something to you no matter like where you fall on a spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think intimacy can be like, can look a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
And so like stepping back and realize, what do you really need from a relationship? Like, I need stability. I need support. I need somebody who's going to listen to me, but also give me space when I need space. Mm-hmm. And like, she does all of those things. So, and knowing that she's very confident in who she is and she will tell me what her boundaries are and what her needs are too. Like, I know that we can have these conversations and those conversations can also evolve. Like, I feel like I can change and grow in this relationship too.
That's important.
I feel like this is... You're just demonstrating some of the strengths of our LGBTQ community, right? Mm-hmm. We mm-hmm. have to soul search really, really hard to figure out exactly who we are inside and what exactly we need in a partner or in life in general, right? So there's a lot of soul searching that goes into being an LGBTQ plus person because...
I feel like we have to invest heavily.
Yes, yes.
Like it's a commitment to like decide that you want something enough to like push against the flow of things.
And, yeah. and face hate and face any mm-hmm. kind of bigotry that you know, imaginable. But then also you're just opening my eyes to something that, and I don't know how I'm even going to say this, but like sexuality being this, I think a lot of times like sex gets in the way and you don't focus on the important things that you're going to need in a relationship because you focus on the sex first, which you're just demonstrating to me how it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be about the sex first. Which for me it was the sex first.
I mean that's where a lot of people build their relationship. Yeah. Like as like even you know adolescents like that is where like you at least know where to start the conversation.
Right.
You
build things on attraction.
Pretty. Exactly. So then you don't do that other work.
So, and also uh-huh. P.S. like attraction. Like you've been together 20, 30 years. Like this is the mm-hmm. person you've seen in all kinds of positions, and maybe you're less like you're like
sex.
You know, like
sex doesn't last forever. Mm-hmm. That's also
my brother has a philosophy himself that he likes to like say a lot. He's also very affirming and like one of the first people, and not necessarily came out too, but that was very just like, yeah, you're asexual. That meant like, that's what it is. Anyway, he likes to point out that sex is a very small part of any time that a couple spends.
True that.
Really true.
Like
really true.
If you're picking somebody out, like you're not going to spend the most time having sex with them.
No. And a lot of times that's what relationships are built on, which is really funny when you really sit down and think about it.
And then they break up when the spark dies.
Exactly.
Okay, Jamie, I want to give our listeners a code that they are going to love. I'm stopping everything for this. Okay, here I go. Okay. If you go to cryobank.com and use the code OCT.
For Ovaries Could Talk.
Uh-huh. You're going to get a free level 2 donor information subscription access for 90 days.
Guys, Jamie. I know. That's worth $145.
That's a lot.
For real. I know. And it gives you access to extended donor profiles, childhood photos, and adult photos for some of the donors. It gives you access to their medical histories, and you can read personal essays they've written, which I personally love. Mm-hmm. And I mean, listen, it's a really great value. But you know what I really, really love about California Cryo?
Other than they helped us make our kids, Jamie?
Well, that is special. And those essays are special, too. But they partner, guys, with LGBTQ plus organizations like Family Equality, The Center, Only Human, to sponsor family building events around the U.S. It's great. They also created a special discounted fertility preservation program for the transgender community, which can help give the opportunity to have biological children after transitioning.
I love that. That's just amazing. And yeah. I think it's also really important to note that they do medical testing, psych screening, background checks.
Yes, of course, of course, of course. And they have over 40 years of experience.
I mean, California Cryobank is not messing around,
nope,
Jamie.
Not.
And mm-mm. If any of you out there are looking for donor sperm, just go to cryobank.com. You're going to open a free account, and then you're going to use the code OCT to activate your free subscription today.
It's so good. That's cryobank.com, cryobank.com, code OCT, and then go make some babies. Do that.
And then send us pictures and say we did it.
Ovaries Talk Babies. Send them our way. I mean, not literally. Don't send them to us.
We don't want the babies. Can I ask, I mean, it's a little bit of a right turn, but like Emily's saying, let's be together. We're going to have the wraparound porch and the dilapidated house. But Emily's coming in with a 2-year-old. Like, how are we all feeling about that? I mean, like,
it was a dilapidated house and kids in the yard.
Oh, okay.
So that was already.
And then a wraparound porch.
Yeah. So,
can you tell I love porches? I focused on the porch, just, but that's okay.
Yeah, I was into the porch too.
Me too.
I really wanted us to sit on the rockers together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yeah. We're like drinking the lemonade. We're looking at our farm.
Or the all wine. I heard was fixer upper.
Okay. All right. So,
yes. Oh, yeah. Also, yeah, the baby. Mm-hmm. And like, I definitely Facebook stalked Emily. Like, I know what her life looked like with the kid and like mm-hmm. who her friends were and mm-hmm. things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, her kid's adorable. Like, you can't see this podcast, listeners, but her given name is Tong. And like, she is a lovely, beautiful half Asian. And her
quarter
kid,
Asian. Sorry. Oh, I'm a half Asian.
Yeah, her
my
kid
son
is a quarter Asian, which means that he has red hair.
Oh my goodness gracious.
He's so
and
cute.
And his cute little round face. And he's Asian ginger.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I have always appreciated children and like the relationship you can have. Again, like there's another one of those deep committed yeah. relationships you can have, like with a 2-year-old and like a 30 minutes that you spend time with them.
They open up. I mean, listen, I have a 3-year-old right now.
Yeah. Like all my, again, like my parents were young when they had me, and my dad and my mom are both like 10 years older than their youngest sibling. And so like my cousins, when they started coming in, were about the age, like I was about the age that my parents were when they had kids. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And like, that was another like excuse for me to like spend a lot of time around people and understand where I fit in a family and like be able to commit to something without being in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So I was spending a lot of time with my cousins that were toddlers at the time. Like I was some of their favorite people. So like the idea that, again, Emily trusted me that much to like fit into her life was complicated by a very adorable 2-year-old.
Well, I was like, who would I be okay with parenting this kid with potentially in the future? And like, who would I want to have a family with? Who could I see myself like negotiating all of that, those conversations with? And who would like play with the kid in a really cool, intense way and like get down on their level and like talk with them without using a baby voice and like, mm-hmm. you know, do all those real like intense things. And like, I was like, oh, Leo would do that.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't do baby voice.
Of course.
So, no offense to those who use baby voice.
Mm-hmm. I'd like, I definitely use it with animals and I don't know how to turn it off.
I do too with animals.
Yeah, she talks to the chickens like that.
Of course you do.
Come here, little baby chicken.
I guess you're going to talk to a chicken.
Right, you don't talk to something that can talk back to you.
No, you're a chicken.
Like if the cat judges you or the chicken judges you for making squeaky noises at it, it's not going to call you out on it. It's chicken.
Right.
Like I remember being a young child and not respecting my aunt to talk to me in a baby voice.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I was like, standard, who will talk uh-huh. to my kid as a person mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. could support me and also will like respect my boundaries and all those things. And I was like, oh yeah, this is something that I really think could work. And like, by that point, I had figured out, okay, I knew I was going to take a new job a few months later. I was like sorting that out. I was creating stability around my life. Mm-hmm. And
after kind of a big mm-hmm. split, right? You know, like,
yes, yeah.
You had started this whole rebirth.
Mm-hmm. So yes, I was like, stability in my eyes was like the most important thing. I needed that for myself and for my son. I needed to figure out how I could like start building a life that I designed for myself that I really wanted. And like, who do I want to come home to at night and like go on adventures with? Like, who am I going to enjoy like watching TV with or reading books with or talking with while we're driving on road trips? Like, I knew I didn't want to be by myself. I knew I wanted to be like partnered with somebody, and marriage really scared me at that point. Still, I was like, I'm not like that level of like commitment, but I was like, I really want to not do this alone. And I want to have a partner who's going to come alongside me and like be excited about going to the grocery store together, because mm-hmm. that's like it feels like a mundane task, but it's like with the right person, it can be something to look forward to. Oh. So wow. I knew I wanted to design those things into my life. And I was like, I need to make sure that I need to check whether this is an option and know for sure either way. And then I can move forward. Like after she sent that text with the photo, I was like, that was just, yeah,
that was it.
I talked with my siblings about it a lot. They were probably sick of me. I was like, oh, I think I'm gonna call her. I think I'm gonna do it. And then I did it. So yeah, she was heading up to Maine at the time, and yeah, I live in Indiana
seasonally.
So we decided that she'd come out and visit for a week. We just kind of like visit with each other because we hadn't seen each other in person for probably like 3 years. Mm-hmm. No, 2 years at that point.
Yeah. Oh, also like after the summer that we were together in Maine, like she came and picked me up from a job that I was working in Colorado, and we road trip together out to Utah where she was going to be working. And then I just flew home from Utah.
Oh, nice. That's a beautiful drive.
Just friends do those kinds of things.
Yeah, just friends do those sort of things. Cool. That really look forward
we go to
them,
Arches. Yeah. We like
conversations. Yes.
No.
To my best friend, I'd be like, good luck with that drive.
Yeah,
I'm busy.
Help, like, get just friends. Set aside time and money, and like, yeah, that's definitely what I want to spend like the next 3 days, just stuck in a car with somebody.
Yeah,
going in the opposite direction that I need to travel.
Yeah,
and so then that went well, and then you were like, okay, we're doing this.
Yeah. So yeah, on my like transit up into Maine from Florida, like I stopped by for the visit. Like I spent a week in her small apartment across from the Domino's, just like being cold and like bonding with her cat.
and listening to her work. And
it's like, also my first week of work in a remote job. So I was like, oh my God, she's going to hear me talking on the phone. And like, I get so self-conscious when people are listening. I went out
and like, I did the dishes while she was bathing her son. Mm-hmm. And like, I went out to the grocery store and cooked dinner as often as I could and things like that. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, like she came out of like the bathroom one day and I was on my computer and she's like, all right, so do you think you're going to come back? Do you have a plan? And I turned around my computer and it was a job search for jobs in the area. Aww. So no, like that I had a plan. Like I didn't want to come and just be a bum on her couch.
Look at you. Yeah.
So there was a lot of intense Marco Polo while we were, you know, long distance mm-hmm. and like phone calls and things like that. Like I got offered a job to take over the restaurant while I was up there. And like I soft committed to it. And like, by the time I was back here and like, it was spring was coming up. Like I just called up my supervisor and I told them like you wanted to take me to take over from the chef. Like I had a relationship with that chef for like 5 years at that point. And like, it was an opportunity that I wasn't expecting. Like I wasn't trained in that field. It's just the thing I fell into. It was kind of the capstone of my career and just, I didn't want it. I couldn't see myself like leaving the house. We just got in a house.
Yeah, we bought a house. I asked her to go on a date to IKEA. And then on the way there, the day before, I was like, hey, this house came on the market that I really, really like. Maybe we could just go see it on the way to IKEA.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We took like the IKEA shopping trip to the next
level. We were going to the IKEA to get more storage for our shoes.
And then you were buying for a new house.
Yeah, we just got a new closet. We just bought several closets.
Oh, my God.
Well, it was like, you know, we're just going to look at it. Like, let's cool. Like, mm-hmm. let's get some practice with it. We know we want a house eventually. We know like the sort of thing we want. Like, let's go be in a house and like talk to each other about the parts that we like about it. And so we did. And then it was like, well, I kind of want to like figure out the house. Like, I'll figure out like if we can do financing. Like, we're not going to get financed for it. I just want to like have the experience.
Just get the information.
Like, yeah, let's get the information.
Let's just check it out. Let's
put it out there. Like, oh, like we got financed for this. Like, I don't. Like she didn't have like the down payment saved up. I'm like, well, I really don't need a new car. My car's gonna work for 4 or 5 more years.
So
it
was kind of like though like all these things mm-hmm. like previously had built up to that moment. So like I had been looking for houses for a long time. I worked for a realtor for mm-hmm. a while, so I like was very aware of like what was a good price for a house mm-hmm. like this mm-hmm. and so I felt like it's on the surface seemed like a very rushed decision but it was like we could recognize this was a good opportunity and we should go for it right now.
Yeah.
And it was cool that we like made this huge financial decision together.
Yep.
So
we had the house. She had the kid. We had the house. Like I was having a good relationship with the kid. And
do you consider yourself a stepmom or what's the status with the
technically yes
so
that's why I put you in the school registration.
Oh, good. Yeah, like I have access to all his school stuff. Like I get the photos that the teachers are required to take now, those poor people.
Oh, I know.
Like all the updates and things like that.
So many updates so many pictures.
It was a careful negotiation for the first 2 years because she was still like negotiating how she was co-parenting with her ex,
right? And he's obvious, in the same town or he's close by.
Yes, yeah. We are in his hometown.
Okay. Oh,
like, he's a town away, so here. We don't share a grocery store.
Yeah,
that's important.
Yeah,
yeah,
yep. But like, our son went to his old elementary school, right, mm-hmm. for pre-K.
Wow.
Like his, like if he plays baseball, he's gonna be playing on the same like little league diamonds and things like that.
Wow.
Which is a really amazing mm-hmm. thing for Tyler. Mm-hmm, like his dad actually just had Tyler try on his old baseball jersey. Aww. Like this weekend. And it's like a little big, but I was like, that's so incredible. Yeah. Like you could wear that jersey and play like in the same
space. Last name on it,
And I didn't have that like same kind of intense connection to a hometown. So I knew I wanted that for Tyler. Mm-hmm. And like, it's really cool to mm-hmm. watch that cool. and make sure that like, he has that incredibly stable foundation.
Yeah. Yeah. So dad is still very much in Tyler's life.
Yes. So the first 2 years, like figuring out like how I fit into like their son's life without making anybody feel insecure. Mm-hmm. Like that was a careful dance. And I felt like part of that was making sure that he also had consent in the relationship, but like it mattered to him that I was in his life and like what he wanted from me, like as far as like a name or anything like that.
Tyler.
Like, I felt like, yes. Yeah. Like I felt like Tyler, like I was going to wait for him to figure that out. It was like, Emily invited me almost right away. It's like, hey, like, what do you want him to call you?
oh, I don't know. Like, that's sort of up to him. I don't know. So there was a couple of years of that. And like, I was a leader to him. And like, I was that person in his house. And it was a very sweet moment where like, we went to a new park that had opened up next to a place where they'd been living when he was 1 or 2 years old. Mm-hmm. And like, there was a willow tree there that he liked to play inside of. And he went in and he remembered it. He's like, I remember this tree. He wanted to play in the tree. And he came out and he looked at me and he's like, you weren't here. Where were you? Oh. Like, that was his first moment of like recognizing, like, you are
a person. I have a memory of this place, yeah. But you were not part of that memory.
And that surprised him a little bit.
Right. Because you were so obviously a part of his life.
Part of his life. And COVID's been awful for a lot of reasons. But one of the things that I don't regret about it is that, like, I took a day off a week through the summer to, like, take care of him, like, make sure that he had stuff to do during the day. Like, we went out while she was working. And like, we fit that into our schedule. And like, he started calling them like you days. Am I going to have a you day?
Aww.
And like, we really just got really, really comfortable with each other. Cause like, he was depending on me. Like, honestly, I was depending on him to behave.
Yeah.
And like keep each other.
I was depending on both of them to leave me alone.
I need a you day, Aaliyah.
What did he end up calling you?
Well, I forget when exactly it happened, but like, I knew that we needed more kids. Sorry, I knew that we wanted more kids.
we need more kids.
A conversation that we had like that first week that I was staying over at the apartment on my way up to Maine. What does our future look like? She had 5-year plans growing up and things like that. And like, kids were something that we definitely agreed on. Like, we both had very intense relationship with our siblings and like felt like Tyler was missing that. And like, I wouldn't want to like deny a kid a sibling. Mm-hmm, and like, if we were going to have siblings for Tyler, Tyler was going to decide what my name was in the relationship. And like, I could be Aaliyah to those kids too. And like, I never wanted to deny him something I was going to give somebody else.
Right.
And
right.
That kind of clicked over for me that like, I was waiting for him to give me something. But what was really more important was that he was waiting for me to give him something.
Mm.
And so like, I had been looking at names and things like that. Like, I knew that I didn't want to be Mama and she was Mommy.
Yeah, I've been trying to get away from Mommy. Yeah. Everyone tells me that it will drop off and I'll just turn into Mom eventually, which is,
Like, the only other like female feeling, like those like syllables that come out of kids' mouths, like the only one that I was attached to was Ma, because my aunts call my grandma Ma or Madre.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it gets shortened to Ma. Like, I knew that was going to turn into Mama if I asked to be called Ma. Also, Ma is weird. Like, we're in the Midwest, but we're not that Midwest. So like, on the list of names, like in hundreds of queer websites that I looked at, was Ama. And like, it had a history of like a word for somebody who wasn't your mother that was taking care of you and was important in your life.
Oh.
And like, I had the conversation just like laying on the couch watching cartoons with him, like, hey, like, you know how you call your grandpa Pop-Pop and Pop-Pop's your grandpa and you call your other grandpa Gong-Gong? Like, you don't say grandpa for either of them, but that's what it means. As he was like, he had already been saying like, you're my mom, but like, I don't call you Mom.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
I have two moms.
Like, he's trying to define what his relationship was. And he was trying to define it for another kid at the park. Like, she's my person. So
I told him like, you can call me Ama.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then it's just,
that was it.
I love kids. Yep. Come on, kids.
And there was like a funny story, like during that summer where I was taking him out like regularly for an intense full day of like being a nomad out on playgrounds. He like had a friendship with these two other girls and they like had spent half an hour just sitting there talking to each other. And at some point someone's like, let's point out our moms. Like, where's your mom? It's like, she's not my mom. It's like, well, like, is she your babysitter? I'm like, no, she's not my babysitter. He stuck his head out of the playground equipment. Like, Aaliyah, tell her who you are. I'm your parent. Like, you can tell her that I'm your parent. Okay, she's my parent. And like, we came home later that day and he'd had a really good day. And you like, you know, like every once in a while, like a kid just has a good day and all they want to say is like, I love you.
I love that.
You can call me like, like whenever you're on the playground again, like, you know, if somebody wants to know who I am, you can like, you don't want to tell them that I'm your mom. I understand that. Like, I'm your parent. You can tell them I'm your parent. Like, okay, I love you, parent. And he gave me a hug. Oh, that's That doesn't quite roll off the tongue, right?
You're so like, I don't think so.
No. I'll find you something else.
Very sweet.
Like, that's where that word fit parent. In for him. Like, I love you, parent.
Oh, that is. He really was trying to find a name for you.
Yeah.
It does sound like
I realized it wasn't something that like I asked from him. Like that was something that he was waiting for me to give him.
Right.
And it definitely felt like that. And he felt like he seemed like he was more comfortable and he sunk into it like when he had a word.
That's his word for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you have such an intense, close relationship with a parent, it's important to have a name. Yeah. Duh.
Yeah.
Duh. No. So when did you guys, are you already in the process to grow the family?
Yeah. So in that plan was getting married. It was important for me to get married just because we had been doing everything so quickly. Like I wanted her family and my family to know that like I was super committed to being a part of their lives before I started adding more kids to it for them.
I just bought the house, but you know.
Yeah, we just bought the house. We're like, okay, we got to put on the brakes. Like wedding, like I'll get on your insurance. Yeah. We'll have a plan. We'll like talk to clinics, things like that. Babies.
Mm-hmm. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, Robin? That question just gets me every time.
Like, funny that you should say that. Yes, Jamie, and I'm stressed out, as is the rest of the world.
Yes, true.
But that's why we all need BetterHelp.
True.
BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you and me and the rest of the world with their own licensed professional therapist. And you can start chatting with somebody in under 48 hours.
Yeah, BetterHelp really is great. It is not a crisis line. It is not self-help, guys. Mm-hmm. It is professional counseling that is done securely online. You can log into your account at any time, and you can send a message to your counselor at any time. Mm-hmm. Plus, you can also schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you never, ever, ever have to sit in an uncomfortable or germy waiting room again, as you have to with traditional
therapy.
That
is true, Jamie. That is all true. But I also like to highlight that they have a broad range of expertise that's available. And that expertise might not be available to you locally in many areas. And so it's also available worldwide, Jamie.
I know. You know what else is great about BetterHelp? They are committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. So they make it easy and free to change counselors if you need to, which is wonderful. It's more affordable than traditional counseling and financial aid is available.
Jamie, BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. And if you visit their website, you can read all their testimonials, which I love too. That.
Yeah, yeah. So visit betterhelp.com/OCT. That's better, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
I mean, Jamie, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. That's incredible.
It really is. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and if these Over Could Talk listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/OCT.
What do you got to lose, Jamie?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Around February, we were already talking to clinics and like getting an idea of like what...
February 2020.
Jeez. Oh, okay, great timing. Here we
go. And in connection with that, we were looking at wedding venues and had planned a place to pick out, and we were about to put down a deposit for the catering. Hey, like this COVID thing seems like it's going to be bad. Like, do you guys have a plan if things have to shut down? It's like, oh no, like we're just going to try to get things done now.
I bet you were.
Luckily, we didn't do that.
Yeah.
So like we had the one appointment with the fertility clinic, and like we had the rundown of like what our options were. And we had a second one, like a different
consultation.
We had another consultation at a different fertility center lined up that we just never went to, because then it was March 2020 and we stayed in our houses.
And that was it.
Yeah.
So it was put on halt for a little bit.
It's put on halt. We were having one of those intense road trips in May.
Yeah, in May.
Yeah. So like we put on halt, we still talked about like what it meant and like what we were imagining for ourselves. And like I knew that known donor, just like sample in a jar, pass it to the guy down the neighborhood thing was a thing, because my sister-in-law's older sister is married to a woman, and she and her wife had conceived their kids that way.
With
and
a known
like
donor.
Again, like I was at Girl Scout camp for a long time and I played rugby in college. Like all of my friends were having kids. I knew they were having kids and there were other options aside from a fertility clinic. So we were returning a dog that we'd started dog sitting in November of 2019. We were watching it for an airman. Like he was deployed and we knew we were kind of had this dog indefinitely until he could come back. And again, COVID. So he didn't know when he was coming back. So he came back in May.
And like, we're on our way there with the dog. Like, hey, ideally, wouldn't it be great if somebody like him was our donor? Like, it's kind of fits the picture. Like, that's all perfect.
Yeah.
So like, on the way, we had passed a billboard advertising banking sperm for service members. Like, there was a good deal then to bank sperm for service members. So like, on our way to return
Memorial
this
Day
dog,
deals. Yes.
Memorial Day deals. Like, there was a Memorial Day special for like banking.
Veterans
sperm
Day. Your sperm.
Bank that sperm.
And like, I was looking at, like, I'm on my phone. She's driving. Oh, this company lets you mail in the sperm. Like, they have a way of keeping sperm viable in the mail. Wouldn't it be cool if there's a way to do that with just sending it to another house?
Even if it's in the mail.
Yeah.
Like, overnighted. Okay. So like, we went ahead, we gave the guy back his dog. Yeah. We didn't tell him anything about
this. You didn't ask him for a
that's
sperm.
Not the conversation that needs to happen. Like, hey, here's your dog. You know what we really love in return?
For that's 6 months, put some sperm in an envelope and mail it to us.
Oh. No, like, we talked about it on the way back, like, made sure it was something we really, really wanted. Like, how would he feel if we approached him about it? Like, we constructed a very intense email. It's just like, tried to balance it out perfectly. And like, he responded, yes. Like, yeah, like, I absolutely want to help you with that. Like, we had a couple of FaceTime calls to make sure that we were absolutely on the same page. And then I started asking for him to ship his sperm in the mail. And like, I wanted to be able to do something.
But yeah, because it's COVID. Right. It's couldn't like, necessarily drive there or fly I was tracking, on a weekend when it was like worked out for her cycle. Like,
I've been tracking my cycles.
See,
like,
and
I knew.
Aaliyah, you're carrying.
Yes, sorry. Yeah, I'm carrying. I'm about to be 35. And it was always like part of the 5-year plan was that like I really wanted the chance to do it. Like, I want a chance. Like, I'm interested in being pregnant. I'm interested in like sharing that experience with Emily.
Yeah.
And like with my mom and my grandma. Like, those are all people that did these things. Mm-hmm. And like,
I get that.
Like, I don't necessarily want to be like genetically attached. Like, that's not a huge deal for me.
And so he started shipping it to you?
Yes. Like, he started shipping it to me. Like, I started like just scouring the internet for success stories. Like, they're out there, but they're just like little comments and sections.
How do you ship it?
Like dry ice?
There's dry ice. There's also a thing called test yolk buffer, which is a medium that is just, it's formulated for sperm and shipping sperm.
Okay.
It's not exactly the same thing the companies use when you're shipping sperm to them for banking or for like semen analysis and things like that, but they exist and they've been used in lesbian communities for like the past 15 years.
We've never heard of this.
You've heard about it. It came up a long, long time ago on the podcast. Somebody was using baby dust.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of company. So test yolk buffer is probably what they're using.
Okay. Okay. Look at you knowing our archival stuff.
Yeah. Like, well, you brought it up. Like, we were already trying. Yeah. Like, I had found a couple of places where like this was like, I was convinced this was a thing. And when looking on the internet, it turns out it was a thing. And like every once in a while, there's a little anecdotal evidence that somebody had kids this way.
Wow.
There's not a lot of it.
It's very slim.
Very slim. Like, honestly, you have to be doing it just right. Like, there's so much margin of error as far as like what he's doing, what the mail carrier is doing, what you're doing.
Right.
So long story short, nothing came. Like, well, I don't want to say nothing came of it. It was like that first time that I inseminated with the male sperm.
At home.
Like, it was at home. Yeah. Yes, at home. Like, I tracked my cycle. I knew I was ovulating. Like, I did the basal body temperature. Mm-hmm. I used a speculum to check on things. Mm-hmm. Like, it was there. Like, I felt good about it. I inseminated. And like, I'm assuming that you guys remember the first time that you inseminated. You're like, I'm pregnant.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I'm pregnant now. So and it's
for sure. I'm like, they put it right there. Of course it's
actually Robin was pregnant.
I was, but I had a miscarriage. Yeah. But sorry.
Yeah. Like,
but I did feel that way.
That's
before
what happens,
I knew.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, I was convinced that I was pregnant. Like, anytime I was hungry, I felt like I had to act on it or else I would feel guilty about it.
Cause the baby needs it.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, baby needs it. Like, I need to go eat a piece of toast, hummus and sauerkraut that I made myself on it. Cause the baby needs it.
Obviously.
And there was like very cute, like moments, like when we're in bed where like, I know that she's thinking about it and I'm thinking about it and I can like take her hand, like lay it over my stomach.
Like, maybe there's a baby like, in there.
Yeah. And I was like 5 days late on my period. Like, we were talking about like how intense it was and like how amazing it was that like we got everything right. She's like, you did so much research. You did everything right.
That makes it even harder.
Yeah, it's hard. But if nothing else came out of it, like, I know the level that I want to pursue that with Emily, because like those 5 days were super.
It was so cool. We were like pregnant for 5 days right then. And
yeah. Like being at work and being like, I have a secret.
Yeah, I know. Yes. Remember those days?
Yeah.
How many times did you try the same way?
We did that every month, aside from 2 months, because he was in the country now, and like about like 3 or 4 months into lockdown, like we had conversations with him about being comfortable. Like we did the road trip 12 hours out there.
That was a crazy weekend.
Yeah, that was a crazy weekend. I know,
we're like, we're going to get fresh sperm this time.
I'm ovulating on a Saturday. We're going to do everything right. Like the weekend's here. It's great. Like we're just going to pack up everything. We get off of work. Tyler's with his dad. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to get in the car. Like we were waiting to check in with him. Like we were 5 hours on the road. We knew he was still at work.
Oh my God.
Like, it's okay. Like we'll ask him if it's okay.
Oh yeah.
And if we have to, we'll turn around. Like, we won't tell him that we're on the road.
Oh, you hadn't told.
Like, we don't want to lose this time.
Oh, like we want those 5 hours to get ahead.
Yeah.
I forgot about
so
that.
We drove the 5 hours. We waited to like get a response from him about whether or not it was okay or if we should turn around, which we were totally like banking on. Like, we'll just turn around. We won't tell him. It's not a big deal.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So you took the road trip. He said yes.
He said yes. We stayed there for 2 days. I think it was 2 nights.
Yeah. And then tried.
Yep.
I think 2 times, right? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like he and his wife went out. Like they already had like an evening plan. Like, you guys can come, but we're not going to be here. I'm like, oh, that's perfect.
That's amazing. He just left it.
Leave you the sample in. On the counter, please. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So,
if nothing else, it was really good because we had that opportunity to have face-to-face conversations instead of over Zoom or email or text, where we could like talk with each other about what we were hoping for. Yeah. And I think that's such an important thing to do. And you're working with a directed donor, like you need to make sure that they're on the same page. Like,
yeah,
if they have expectations about like communicating with the child, if there is a child or like anything like that, like that we could kind of start building that trust and that safe space for us to have a conversation.
Like, this was a friend. Like, I wanted to make sure that like our relationship with him was good.
Yeah.
Like, kid's not here yet. I still care about you.
Yeah.
Like, making sure that he had support and was in a good place. And like, we all got to laugh about the idea that like some people decide to call their donors their special uncle and how very awkward that would be.
A little awkward.
Yeah.
I love how like positive you all are. I mean, it's like you weren't having success in the pregnancy, but it's like you've turned it into life lessons.
Yeah, we were still moving forward, and like there wasn't anything else that I felt like I could do at the time because like the clinics we were interested weren't taking new patients. Like, we couldn't get him out there to donate to the clinic and like get that. Like,
yeah, like none of it was months. It wasn't safe. We have all these restrictions. So like, what can we do? Like, what do we have control over?
Right,
yeah.
Right. Right.
So he's currently deployed again. He won't be back until August.
But we've done work in that time.
Yeah.
We have like
we've been going back into clinics again. We spoke with our financial planner about like what it will look like if we have to like spend money on IVF.
So
an issue with IVF is that, so our insurance will cover IUI, but we have to wait for 6 months for his sample to be quarantined.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
But they can use sperm right away for IVF without quarantining it.
That's crazy. Oh, because they test it?
Why is that? It's just like a legal.
The laws were written at different times. So like the laws for IUI existed before IVF was common.
Yeah. So ridiculous.
And also, like, if I was in a relationship with him, apparently, like if I could admit to having sex with this man, whether or not we were married, whether or not he was my boyfriend, I could just go in.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be an issue.
Ridiculous.
Also, like the 6 months that I've been trying, like, I documented things, like I had my charts printed out. I'm like, all right, this is how long I've been trying. I'm really close.
Like I have been trying. When they ask that question, have you been trying?
You like, yes. It doesn't count unless a dude or a doctor was putting semen inside of me and I did not use my hands.
That is problematic.
That makes me so mad.
Super problematic. That is such a problem.
Like, every time I hear it, it makes me mad. It's like not new information like, and I'm just as there. Mad.
Yeah.
Yep. God. Not new information. It's there. Like, I was hoping like there was some way that I could word it and where like a clinic would be understanding of like, yep, that's
you're
your
literally
situation.
There like, with like charts.
Yeah.
You're like, look at all my scientific research like, that I have been doing.
Like, they brought like, I was speaking with the financial person at the time, like trying to figure out like what it would cost, like for his donations to be covered and things like that. They're looking at my plan, like fertility clinics hire extra people who understand like how to go through your insurance information. Like, there's a whole separate specialty. Like, this woman knew her stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started talking about like what it would mean that my directed donor, like, were you in a relationship with him? Did you have sex? Like, was there a syringe involved? They brought in a second person to sit in the room for that. Like,
ridiculous.
And there's also a separate thing of like, as far as like being an asexual person, like I'm not uncomfortable in a medical situation. Like I don't mind. Like I've gotten very geeky about the whole fertility process. And like one of the few places I felt like it was cool to be visible and out was like in a doctor's office.
You would think,
so like for
right?
the past 8 years, like I've been checking boxes and filling in answers, like asexual, that's what it means for me. And like having that conversation with your gynecologist, honestly, it was nicer to have a word for it, because like when I was a teenager at the gynecologist's office, they asked me what kind of birth control I was on. Anytime I said I don't have sex, like they looked at me like, oh, honey.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Or they were lying. Yeah.
Yeah. So when it came to fertility clinics, like explaining that I was asexual and my wife was bisexual, like the look that we got was just like alarm, concern. And like having the conversation about reciprocal IVF, just because like it was our first appointment, like what's the whole bucket? Like, tell me everything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like she got hung up on the idea that like if I was asexual, she would also have to quarantine my wife's egg donation.
Because we hadn't
somehow
had sex.
What?
And like what if you haven't exchanged fluids, like, then there's a problem. And it's like
that.
And like honestly, no like sense. I immediately said, like, it's okay. Like we share a bed. I see her naked and she's like, okay. Like she nodded.
That's enough. Like, and why do you even have to have that question? Yeah. Like, why is that something to
none of your
ask
business?
People?
None of your business. And what? Oh
that
my
is
god.
So
so
ridiculous.
All the clinics moving forward, like I've just put down lesbian.
Yeah. Because like, you want to make your life easier, right?
I want to make my life easier that way. Also, like I'm visibly a lesbian. Like that is a way of affirming my relationship with my wife.
Right.
Like a lesbian doesn't just talk about sex. Like I'm romantically in love and committed to this woman. I'm a lesbian.
Yeah.
Like every time you say something like that, Emily giddily laughs.
I know.
It's the cutest
so much
thing.
You guys are so much more intimate than my wife and I. And I'll tell you what, a lot of lesbians don't have sex. So.
Yeah. So, a lot of married couples don't have sex.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So did you decide to go IUI or IVF?
So our plan is that I'm going to do one cycle of IVF once we have sperm banked again. Mm-hmm. And that like we have a way to cover it. We don't have to go into debt for it. We're very, very lucky for that. But once we do, like her insurance is actually pretty great. Like it will cover IUI mm-hmm. and I only have to go through three. Like if I have three failed IUIs, my IVF is then covered.
Great. Oh, that's good. Okay. That is.
But
that's
like
great
since,
insurance.
Yeah, it's pretty great insurance. It's through Boston, Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Right?
Yeah. Massachusetts.
Yeah. Anthem, Blue Cross Blue Shield.
We're
for
in
Massachusetts.
Indiana. All the endocrinologists I've talked to have been like, oh my God, it's great that you have Massachusetts coverage because Indiana
yeah,
is
great.
Awful for fertility coverage. Yeah.
That is really great. Okay.
So it's all there. It's covered. And if there had been any chance of getting his sperm bank 6 months ago, we could be trying that now.
Now you just have to wait until he's back. Yeah. And
so the plan is once he's back, like we're going to try IVF. And if that's not working, then we've got 4 or 5, however many months it is, of trying at home again until we have access to his sperm in a clinic situation.
Okay. All right. Well, our fingers are crossed.
Yes. And I love the never say die attitude. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that you guys, your positivity is so, it's like catchy.
Yep. Also, we have a really great 6-year-old at home. Like, he's.
Yeah.
See, I don't even.
A 4-year-old going into the pandemic, and now we have a 6-year-old.
I don't even describe my 7-year-old as really great. So you guys are like, just like a step above the rest.
You're already winning. Yep.
You're just winning.
Well, you two are amazing. We are so glad you reached out.
Yes.
This has been such a wonderful conversation.
It really has.
And it's nice to talk to people.
Right?
It's nice so to talk about this specifically. It's like, I feel like I sometimes have one-off conversations with friends about it, but it's hard to have.
It's good to know you want to hear it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh my God. All day long. Yeah.
And visibility matters. And so we are just so glad you reached out and we're able and willing to tell your story. So thank you so much. I think that your story is going to help a lot of people.
I think so too.
Oh, speaking of, something that helped me in college was the Asexual Visibility and Education Network.
Okay.
Which is at asexuality.org. It's a forum that has like, it's one of the few places where asexual people actually hang out together. And like, I spent a lot of time on those threads when I was in college, my senior year.
Okay.
And it still exists. It's still out there. I checked in on it. And they also promote, current media that features asexuality people or people in asexuality spectrum.
That's great. That's great.
So anyone else out there that needs to see a list of speculating on which fictional characters are asexual, it's out there. And it's a good way to decide what you're going to watch on Netflix.
That's amazing. That is fun. I got to check that out.
I know. Well, thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Oh, man. I love talking to them.
I know. I'm so thankful and appreciative that Aaliyah reached out to us. I mean, mm-hmm. I am always so amazed at how our community is willing to share their stories and such intimate details in order, you know, for others to learn and to understand us. Like, it's just, it's such a gift.
Yes. And also for others who might slightly have a story similar to theirs to hear their story.
Yeah.
Because it helps. It helps so much
it
to
is
hear
so,
our story.
It was so important to hear yourself mirrored, you know, if, mm-hmm. just to know you're not alone. I just, that it's just huge.
Representation matters.
It sure does.
And at the end of the day, what they did show was how loving, communicative, compassionate, and intentional they are. Which,
damn it, they did, Jamie.
One of our themes. It's just these themes keep running through. Intentionality. Sure, we are so intentional. Our families rock.
They really do. They're they in, really in the words do. Of Jamie, they are beautiful. Hashtag,
hashtag
beautiful.
Hashtag beautiful. Beautiful. I should copyright that. Can you imagine?
Yeah, go ahead, Jamie. Give that a whirl. Yeah. But I was the one who put the hashtag in front of it. Okay. Go get our book, If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ family. All major retailers have it. And if you want to buy it locally, you can check IndieBound and they'll tell you where to get it.
Mm-hmm. You can also get the audio book if you want us to read to you at night and during your commutes and whenever you read a book. That's available on Amazon and iTunes. And if you do get it, please don't be afraid to review it on Amazon or Goodreads because those reviews help us get it out to more and more people. Thank you very
really,
much.
They really, really do.
They really do.
And you guys, even though, you know, we said we're going to be dark soon on July 5th and then for the month of August, we do want to keep in touch with you over that time. We'll be on the social media, Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And you can catch up on our live streams if you haven't on If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube. And the live stream will be dark too for the month of August and the week of July 4th. But you know, there's a lot of old episodes there that are pretty fabulous.
Yes, pretty fabulous, if we don't say so ourselves.
Ourselves.
You can also support the podcast and join our community on patreon.com/ovariestalk. And don't forget, you're going to get bonus content there, like the episodes dropped a day early, video episodes, all kind of cool stuff. patreon.com, ovariestalk. Just wanted to spell it out for y'all.
Thank you to all our sponsors, California Cryobank and BetterHelp. And a huge thank you to all you people who are already in our Patreon community. You guys are literally helping us make this show, and we are so appreciative.
Thank you.
And that, Jamie, feels like enough for today.
It is really just, it's been amazing. It's been real. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. You go out there and you conquer this day. You conquer it.
Okay, okay. I'm going to have Helen sub in on my eggs, ovaries out. All right, you start, Jamie.
No, eggs.
Ovaries.
What is that?
Out.
That's not even. You keep changing her voice.
I know.
Ovaries. What the heck was that?
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.